Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Rod Chalk inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
So I'm just trying to get all this stuff ready here because I believe that God has a word for you today. I believe that we are in a season right now to grab a hold every time we hear the word. When Pastor Gary, unfortunately, I didn't get to hear the sermon last week but I believe every time Pastor Jay preaches, every time Pastor Gary preaches, every time I preach, every time Pastor Claude gets up, there is something that God is trying to give us in that moment, right? Come on with me now, right? And in this moment we are in right now, I believe what God wants to give us today is a breakthrough. Okay, I'll say that again. I believe what God has for us today is a breakthrough. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read something to you, I'm going to pause just for a second after I do something else. But here is a declaration that I have done in the past a lot and kind of got away from doing, and it's been returning on my heart again. So this is a declaration to do at night. Now, what I'm going to give you the opportunity to do is if any moment you want to cheer, preferably after it's said rather than before, but, you know, just give it, okay? So here we go. Tomorrow is going to be one of the best days of my life. I will wake up with strong faith, strong love, strong hope, and my heart is ready. God's kingdom will advance everywhere I go in everything I do. I will be extremely effective tomorrow with the work that I do. I will have life-changing secret place times with the Lord tomorrow. Right now, I demolish double-mindedness and lack of enthusiasm I have about my activities, my appointments, or my meetings that I have tomorrow. And then this last one, I will be victorious in everything I face tomorrow. And you might say, well, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like it either. The point is this, is that our feelings have been controlling us a little bit too much. Amen? Come on. Now, our feelings have been in the seat of decision-making for a while. And here's what right now is, I'm going to kick your feelings in the I'm not sure what word I'm allowed to say here, but this is not my intention, and it's not my intention to hurt anybody. If you're new here, okay, I love everybody. You'll know, come get to know me. I may look like my face sometimes says I don't, but I really do love everybody, okay, in that way. You know, I know that Karen is always going like this to me. Pss, pss, pss. I'm like, that usually means rod your face. And I'm like, it's the only one God gave me. But yes, I get it. I understand. I'm responsible for my face. But this season that we're going into right now, we have got to stop letting our feelings be in the seat of decision-making. Amen? And there is a season of going through that. I believe that our church is about to do some transformations. I believe that we're about to see some change, but I don't think everybody's going to go there. The idea in all of this is to not look around right now, but to look at yourself and go, will I be the one that goes? Will I be the one that sits there and decides that no matter how I feel, no matter how my situation is, no matter how many stories that I have, and boy, some of us have a lot lately, don't we? How many stories that we have that don't say that God is faithful. Come on now, hear me. But these stories are lying to us. The circumstances and the situations, and I am not trying to stand up here and tell you that, oh, I wanted a purple car and I got a green car, and so therefore life is difficult. I'm not talking about that. There are some hard things that have been happening, right? And there are things that don't line up. They don't make sense. They don't go with what God is saying. And in those moments, if I, and I will point all these fingers back at myself this morning, if I am not careful and I let my feelings be the decision maker, I will lose my hope. Come on now. In this moment, I will become hopeless. And that means is that I have stopped. I found myself the other day even asking a question when I began to, and I'm not sure if you are like this or not, but at times, where's my water gone? At times, I can, for some reason, allow my mouth to run off. None of you are like that, obviously. And I forget what James chapter 3 says. Anybody know what James chapter 3 talks about? It's something that's a strange thing that in there. It's as if he doesn't like a tongue at all. I mean, if, go ahead and read it and sometime and you'll see and be like, well, the tongue's not that bad, is it? And yet the way he describes it, and one of the things that always, and you've heard me say this so many times, the building blocks of our life, I think about it like a forest. I think about it like provision that God's trying to get to us. If I was to go build a house, now there's all kinds of different materials to build a house, but if you go back into the days, for example, that you were building a log house, you would go to the forest and you would cut down logs to make your house. So the supply was already there. It was naturally given by God to produce what you needed in the next season. But what happens is that James talks about the fact that our tongues come along and they are like a fire that burns up the forest, it says. And inside of us, that's talking about the facts, the things that God has prepared for me, we begin to burn them up. And you're saying, hang on a second, Pastor Rod, do you mean that, like, okay, I was talking about this the other night. I was talking about that the other night. Okay, we're not going to get paranoid about it. Okay, we're not going to get over the top about it. But I'm telling you this, if we live a lifestyle where our tongue doesn't say what God's saying, Rodney, then listen, those things are going to become a habit, and the habit begins to move us or shape us or show us the doors that we are to walk through. And many of those doors we're not supposed to walk through. See, for me right now, I'm looking at this sense of, Pastor Jay has been trying and been talking about this for years now. I've watched his life. Okay, now it's not like I'm going, hey, let's see. Okay, but I have watched his life to see if he's a man of hope. Come on now. We have been hearing a message about hope for so long. But I've watched him. And again, when you watch someone closely, you realize how imperfect they are. Come on now, right? Okay, Pastor, he's like, what's he going to say? I thought this was going good, right? Okay, in this. You be around me for a while, or just talk to Karen for a little while, and you'll realize how imperfect I am. We are not perfect, but we have this intention right now that we will become people of unbelievable and extraordinary hope. Come on. We will become people that when situations happen, they don't dictate what my mouth is saying. They will begin to just fuel me to begin to run into God. Now, I know you say, well, you know, when it's in, and I've said this the last couple of times, and I don't know why I'm going to say this again right now, but listen, you create these habits in the good seasons. It's just the way it is. You create these habits in the slow seasons. And here's what I find with most people I dare not say easy, because I don't know there is an easy season, but a lighter season on the difficulties. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. If the lighter season, that's when though sometimes we don't sit there and say with our mind, I don't really need what God has, but we let our guards down because it's been hard. Come on now. You all of a sudden go, that's been 2 days in a row. It's been good. It's just wonderful. We began to let down. But in those seasons, in those times, in those moments, that's when we have to build into ourselves. I think the word that I have for you today, if you're writing something down, is hope's got to be trained. This is what I believe that God's been putting upon me, that Rod, you're just waiting for God to give you a hope that changes the world, but you've got to be trainable. You have got to step in and train your hope. You've got to teach your hope. You've got to tell your hope what to believe in circumstances, so that when, whether it's your basement flooding, whether whatever it is, whatever happens, all of those things, that you have been trained for this moment. It used to drive me crazy when Pastor Jay would say, more training, more training. And I'm like, I don't need more training. Anybody else? I don't need more training. And yet we realize, and I'm not talking about God's doing these things to us. Look at me just for a second. You hear me, right? I am not saying God gave you this to train you. I'm saying that life will give us enough. Come on, life will give us enough in that moment. But in those moments, the training has got to happen before we get into the pot. It's got to be in the now moments. It's got to be. But the training, here's what the thing is, that hope is not wishy-washy. It is not, well, if you ever heard someone, well, I'm hoping, what does that mean? If someone does this and they say, well, I'm hoping, that means 50-50, you know, I'm not really sure, those things. That's not biblical hope. In fact, biblical hope is so different than the world's version of hope that it's something we've got to learn. It's not something that seems to come natural, because godly hope is an expectation. It is a confident expectation that God's going to come through. When I began to look for this sermon and I was, again, it's just been a struggle to find these things at times. And I said to Karen, I said, I need a journal. Do you got an extra journal around? And whatnot. And I don't know if this was one of my mom's or one of yours or one of Karen's, I guess it was. And I'm like, well, okay, it's got this little funny thing on the end. And I don't know if I want to walk around with this little frilly thing there and this other thing. And you open it up and I'm like, okay, well, whatever. That's what we got. And I look at the cover and what is it? Like literally embossed into it. It says, good things are coming. And I'm like, yeah, that'll do. Okay. And in this moment, that is a belief system that sometimes has slipped away from me. Anybody kind of want to be honest in the midst of all of this? When all the things that happen, that belief system, you're like, oh, that's good. Yes, yes. I'd love for you, God, to do that. But in that moment and all of the things that have going on, we find that that grinding has caused us to lose a bit of our training. And it's not about, here's the thing the enemy wants to do. Ooh, that's a moment just to dump some shame and guilt on that one. You know, let's just remind them of how much they've forgotten, and it will just keep them out of the presence of God. See, what we are going to do in this next season, and then you notice I say, this is what we are going to do in this next season. We're going to stop listening to the enemy, and we're going to start approaching God in a new way again. Come on now, are you with me? And if some of you have been running after God and you're getting closer and closer all the time, terrific and awesome. But if some of you are with me and you've been under unbelievable pressure, and in this moment, it's not about the fact of, oh, did I do this right? Did I do that right? How do I do this? You don't know. You don't understand. Let's just drop all that stuff and say, God, I want more of you. I don't understand this pile. Anybody got a pile? I don't understand this pile, but I'm going to burn this pile as a sacrifice unto the Lord, and stop asking why. Whew, that's hard. That's painful. Because burnt piles seem to reappear. Right? Come on now. And I find myself down that road again. But if we are going to be a people of unshakable, undescribable, amazing hope, then we need to be a people of expectation. The belief system that is so strong that how you feel won't affect it. Come on now, that was good. A belief system that is so strong that what everything looks like won't affect it. A belief system that is so strong and what has happened in the past won't allow it to be trained by it. See, the thing is, a lot of times for me, and forgive me if this is too honest for you, but sometimes the experiences, if when they come too many times, too quick, too fast, they begin to be what's training me instead of what God is saying. And in this moment right now, I feel like this rising up inside of me that, Rodney, you understand that you need to train your hope right now. It was interesting. My kids used to love to watch How to Train a Dragon. I don't know if whoever's got this movie in the theater right now has wrecked it or not. I don't know. This is not a commercial for it. I've never seen it. But as I seen the commercial for it, I'm thinking, again, that same sense of training. Difficult things, training. You know, training is hard. I've seen Pastor Jay. He'll come in and he'll talk about the fact of working out and all those things. And he's sweetly and nicely at different times talked about his workout schedule, never saying, "Pastor Rod, you might want to do that." But you walk over to his house, okay? If you ever get a chance to go to Pastor Jay's house, ask him to open the garage. Hey, this garage, I had to go over because yesterday I was struggling with everything for the sermon, just finalizing everything, and I needed to go to the church for a while. And, you know, you talk about things that happen. I took my key that didn't have my church keys on it, and I came to church. I drove up to it, didn't even think about it until I parked. You know, one of those feelings, you put it in park, and you go, "I don't have keys. I can't get in." And you're like, "Oh, Sam and Judy will be here." Nope, Sam and Judy were away. Gone somewhere. Then I'm like, "Pastor Jay, I'll have keys, obviously." So I'll go over and get, and we're out getting something. And they're not there, but I'll be back in 15 minutes. And so I waited for him to come, and sure enough, he was exactly on. And so I went over to his house, and the door was wide open, and there's a massive amount of weights and training equipment and all these things. If that was just for good looks to the neighborhood, right, then that would not change him at all, at all. If you decided, Pastor Jay, to do it monthly, would it change you? I'm only saying this because here's the really the bluntness of it, that training is painful. Training hurts. Training is hard. Training goes against what's naturally sometimes we want to do. And in this season right now, our hope needs to once again be trained. As I say here in my notes, it's however, it's a choice. It's an active choice. It's a choice about where we focus. Do we focus on the waves that feel like they're going to drown us? Or do we say that the waves are going to carry us to the next place that God has? All of these things, when I begin to look at what's got to change, I will say it this way. For us to walk in this kind of hope we're talking about, there are some things that are go and some things that have got to grow. Okay, if you're taking notes today, there's some things that have got to go and some things that have got to grow. So one of the things that's got to go is an earthly view of hope, a wishy-washy hope I already talked about. The next thing that's got to go is probably one of the hardest things, and it connects again with James, and it's complaining and grumbling. That has got to go away from us. I'll tell you this. Have you ever, I got to watch the way I say this, because we sometimes are called to stand beside someone for a season that has a struggle with that. But if you are constantly, if your best friend is always complaining, always grumbling, let me ask you, when you're with them, do you feel exhausted or do you feel encouraged and empowered? And it's obviously the second that is not there, that many times we're feeling that exhaustion. And so the idea for me is this: would you like to come with me on a journey to become the people that refresh other people constantly? Right? Come on. That we become the people that are refreshing. Now, that doesn't mean that we go, "Oh, everything is wonderful. It's just fantastic. I loved yesterday. It was amazing." No, come on. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the fact of living like David lived. When he said the reality of it, talked about the depression that he was under, all of those things that were going on. But then he uses these words, "But my God is going to change things. But my God is going to come through." And it's this sense of, if you were like, when I came to this church many years ago now, that one of the greatest struggles over my life was to begin to see the world around me with a glass that was half full. And if I wasn't careful, that somebody could give me a car and I would begin to look at what was not good about the car instead of looking at all the blessings that were part of the car and what was just given to me for free. And that's something that I have worked. And I, you know what I did? Over the years, I'd go to conferences and different things. This was back probably now. We're talking about 25, 30 years. But going and go to conferences, and I would be like, "Yes, Lord, get rid of that in me. Lord, I'm here. Pray it. I'm just praying. I'm believing. Let's get some people to lay hands on me and get that thing off of me." Guess what? It never went nowhere. in that scenario, I was given strength, I was given power to change, to train myself and train my voice and train my words. In the beginning, when I began to try to change, and guess what? It is my Achilles heel still to this day. It doesn't mean it overpowers me. It doesn't mean it's got me. It's the thing that sometimes likes to come back and just take a chunk out of me. And I know, though, now that when those things begin to happen, here's one of the things with me, is that there's a religious thing going on with me. And you might say, well, that makes no sense. I can tell you this. If I start to creep towards a religious mindset, and that has to do with a lot of times, has to do with judging. Okay? It has to do with judging. Sometimes it's hard when you're prophetic and you can see all this stuff. It's so difficult at times. And my heart is one that wants to bless them. And I don't want to see this stuff. I don't want to look at this stuff. And yet it's something that is inside of you. If you're not careful, you can become judgmental. Somebody could walk in here tomorrow and they could smell like a trash can. Come on now. And they could ask if your seat is available right beside you. And in those moments, we have to push ourselves away from judging and trying to figure out why and trying to begin to do all these things and to be people of hope. So that thing that's got to go is the grumbling and complaining. If you think about it like the wilderness, if you want to look up Exodus chapter 16, verse 2 to 15, all in there, it talks about what happened to them. 1 Corinthians 10:5 talks about what happened to them when they began to grumble and complain. You see, the last time I checked, the complaining and grumbling, which is in essence simply a lack of trust in God's word, in God's character, and in God's integrity, it did not serve the Israelites well, right? And in those moments, I know it's gotten awfully quiet in here right now, but I would say this is, but see, in the moment, I want to be like Isaac. If you want to, you know, if you're looking up something, and I don't have time to go there specifically, but in Genesis chapter 26 and 12, I want to be like Isaac. If you look at verse 1, it talks about there was a famine in the land. In other words, things are rough. They are tough. And everything is difficult. And it's so hard. Anybody been in a famine before? Let me see first before I say something. If you've been in a famine, you've been in a different country, probably in a famine. Some of you might have been there and seen those things and see what happened and what it does to a people and what it does to families and what it does. It's so destructive, and it causes people to then become a lot of times just keep because you don't know if it's going to be there tomorrow. But what does Isaac do in the middle of it? And many of you know where I'm going, but verse 12 talks about the fact that he reaped unbelievably, but because why he reaped is he sowed in the middle of the famine. He didn't wait until things got good, that he gave in the middle of the difficult times. You know, this for me is something that I'm like, Lord, train me again in this. Train me again in this, no matter what I'm going through. If things are hard financially, I'm not shutting down my giving. I don't remember Karen and I ever doing that, ever. But in those seasons, but there's a difference between, okay. Lord, give me wisdom how to say this. I'll just say Rod, okay? I'll talk about me in here. I feel like I've been saying in my heart lately, God, I want to increase my giving. I feel like through all the things that have happened and all the ways that I'm worn out in some of these things, that my giving has slipped. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not tithing. It doesn't mean I don't have a giving account. It doesn't mean I'm not doing all of these things. But I'm talking about that joy-ridden giving, that sense of being able to change somebody's day. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about everywhere I go, everywhere I look for is an opportunity to speak into someone's life and change their day. That's what it's like to be part of a house or a church that has unbelievable hope. Quickly this morning, let me give you five things, and I won't go through them all in depthly, But things I said, those things that I just talked about, are the things that have got to go. These are the things that got to grow. And, you know, some of this stuff is difficult. Some of this is hard. And I'm trying to put humor in the middle of it. But you love me anyways, right? Okay, so here we go. Number one, it's got to grow. You've got to surround yourself with faith-filled people. You have got to surround yourself with faith-filled, hope-filled people. That doesn't mean you go, okay, let me just check to see if you make the cut. Okay, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about, as I said earlier, if your best friend in the world is just constantly complaining and you've tried to help them and you've tried to talk to them, you're not talking about, you're out. You're talking about the fact that maybe they won't be your best friend in the entire world. Right? It's not talking about abandoning them, okay, and whatnot, but it's talking about the fact that you just can't let that constantness come into your life because it's molding you. Come on now, look at me. It's shaping you. You say, no, not me. It's molding us and it's shaping us. And I want us to get this in our hearts. You know, let me just say it this way. No matter how much we think we won't be affected, we become affected by negativity. I need to be a person that when people are around me, they are lifted up. Come on now, you're with me? When I am at the bottom of my barrel, when I have nothing to give, I need people around me to be lifted up. Because that will change people's lives. That will make people curious about the gospel. That will be something that will change things. You see, I say that because, I'm going to do a little commercial here right now. If you're not in a Thrive group, please come talk to me. You say, Pastor Rod, that was quite the segue. But if you're not in a Thrive group, please come talk to me. I'm telling you, you want to grow? You want to have a family? When that happened with my mom just recently, my Thrive group, I will say it this way. They pleasantly confused me with all the things they did. I love that. They pleasantly confused me. And there were many of you that did that as well, being part of a family. But there's something even more intimate. There's something even more close when you begin to be involved in that. You say, well, Pastor Rod, I'm trying, but I don't have time. I'm not talking about guilt trip here now, okay? Can we all just go like poof to the guilt trip? Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having the opportunity saying to you, this is how we grow. The second thing we got to do to grow is you have to train your eyes. Write it down. Train your eyes. Remove the defective lenses that you are looking through. You have heard me say this so many times. We need to change our filters. The past cannot be the filter that we look into the future for. The situations that we have just got, that I have just gone through, that you have just gone through, they cannot be the filter that we expect through, because guess what? We'll expect nothing. In these moments, it doesn't mean we just sit there and swipe them away. I'm not talking about the fact of ignoring them. We need healing at times, because if you ignore something long enough and you cover it with enough time, eventually somebody will touch it. And then that'll explode. We need healing in these things, yes, but they cannot be things that train our heart and our mind. You know, one of the craziest things that I've seen, Pastor Jay, we did many, Pastor Gary, many, many years ago, we taught a lot on the orphan heart. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, look it up, talk to us. We'd be happy to help you find the information, and even there's so many good books and different things that are out there. But we spent a lot of time talking about training in school and whatnot about how the orphan heart, and what that means is, for example, I had a great dad. I had a great father. But for some reason, I still got some of the traits that an orphan has, where I had to deal with the fact that when I got into trouble, I didn't expect God to come to my rescue. Right? That's an orphan way of thinking. If something else, there's such a sense that what happens is that this little booklet here, this thing that says good things are coming, an orphan says, no, I don't really deserve those things. I don't really expect those things. I haven't seen. Now, Sherry over here and Shelly and Mark and whoever it was, now they got it going on. God is really with them. But in those moments, that's when you realize that you have begun again to walk down those roads. Let me go quickly through this. Number three is this: our hope must be determined. We need to fight for this. We got to fight for this. It's not going to be given to us. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor Rod? To be a house that's so radically filled with hope, we are going to have to fight for this. And I'm not talking about fighting amongst us. That wouldn't be a good thing. I'm talking about the fact of everything within me sometimes goes against that. And everything you see, and I'm telling you, again, you love me, so I'm going to say it. If you spend hours and hours on the internet listening and talking about things that are negative, I am telling you it's going to become who you are. And you will be the last one to know. And guess how you'll figure it out? Nobody wants to be around you. And you say, what happened, Pastor Rod? What is this? I don't understand this and whatnot. Because negativity, if we begin to fill ourselves, and I'm telling you, there's enough of it online. There's enough of these conspiracy theories and enough of the doomsday and enough of the world is ending. It's everywhere. Do you think that the world is surprised when they see it somewhere else? No. But what is shocking is when they see it in the church. When they see it here amongst us, that we need to be these people who have hope. And we're so filled with hope that we believe change can come. Amen? Now, some of you look like I smacked you, okay, in there. I don't mean to hurt anybody in this. But it's this idea of I am so determined to become this. And so I want to be determined to be transformed. And to be so filled with hope that I can change people's lives. The fourth one is this. Faith trains our hope. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith brings our hopes into reality. The rest of the verse says it this way in the Passion Translation, and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. And so faith, I say it this way to you, Proverbs 13 and 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart right. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Who is our desire? Who was crucified on a tree? Right. The tree of life. We have the tree of life. And he lives inside of us. And this is where our hope has to come from. I will say this last one that's got to grow, and I won't even go through my notes because our time is going. Can I get a couple of ushers or someone to come up and hand everybody one of these squares of paper right here? And if you need a pen, there's some pens in that box up there that we can hand those out to, as long as maybe we can try to get those pens back. But this is the last one that I wanted to look at. And it is... It's simple, but it's not easy. If I say the word stronghold, you immediately think of a negative thing, right? That's usually for most people, they think of a stronghold. If you've got someone says you've got a stronghold in your life, usually that's not a good thing, okay? However, my beliefs need to become strongholds. They need to become absolutes. They need to become assurities. And my belief system needs to become that which I fight for hope with. One of the things I am determined to do again, trying to find them, there we are. So this is what I want you to do with this piece of paper right now. And if you need a pen, there are some pens around. And don't write this down. It's just something that we don't use for children's ministry anymore, those things. So the scriptures on the back don't have anything to do with what we're doing today. But if they bless you, terrific, okay? This is a blank piece of paper that I wanted you to write something down. So don't write anything until we get going on this. Simply what I want you to do today is I want you to create a stronghold, a godly belief, a godly stronghold, something that is going to carry you through, not only carry you through, but cause you to excel and to become a person of hope. And so let me just read you. We should all have at least five of them that we are going through on a regular basis. And for some of you, this is going to be brand new for you. You're like, what are you talking about, Pastor Rod? Do I have to do this to come to this church? No, you don't. Relax. But if we want to grow, if we want to train our hope, this is an important thing. There has got to be things that we believe absolutely. And no matter whether the situation, and I'm telling you, Pastor Gary has been, I've gone to her in the last little while, and I've shared with her my heart. I've shared with her my frustrations and the things that I'm just like, I don't understand some of these things. And I've been able to just pour my heart out to her in that. But at the same time, every time I would say something to her, she would just smile. She would just smile lovingly. And I knew what that meant. Okay, that meant praying for you, Pastor Rod. I think you're a little bit off, but I'm praying for you. Okay, love you. Okay, and you just knew it. But I would go home and then the Lord would say, you're allowing what you've seen to write a new belief system. And so over the last little while, I have been going, okay, it's time once again. And so this is my top five. I'm not asking you to write down one of mine. I'm going to ask you today, if you wish to, you can come up with one for yourself. But these are my top five. Number one, I don't have to earn my place at God's table with works. I belong because I am His. See, this to me is that rock that when everything goes, does anybody ever had the fact of the enemy plant in your mind, you're not worthy? You're not worthy to go into His presence. You're not worthy to do this. You're not doing this right, that right. See, this is one of those things that for me that is an absolute. It has to be. I don't have to earn my place at God's table with works. I belong because I am His. Number two, this is one that I think has been misunderstood. But listen, this is one for me. Repentance is a joy. It brings me closer to God, and it opens doors for God's next. Repentance is a joy. So when I sit there and I feel like God's saying, you need to repent of this, I don't go, oh, woe is me. I'm so terrible. I don't do that. That's not what He's asking me to do. He's asking me with joy to say, Lord, I'm wrong. Forgive me, God. And help me now to move forward. Come on, right? Because we could get sucked down a path for a long time of beating ourselves up. And God's like, well, whenever you're done, let me know. Hey, and you just sit there. He goes, I just want you to get up and go. No. Wait, what are you doing? Okay, I got to wait. Hang on a second. Let's just wait till Rod's done. Okay. He's getting up. Oh, he sat back down again. Okay. We'll just wait. It's okay, boys. Just wait. Wait. I know we got a plan. I know this thing's good. Oh, here he goes. Okay, he's up. Let's go. See, the idea in this is not to allow repentance to become something that brings shame and guilt, but that energizes you and moves you into joy. Third one for me is this: God is turning this around. If the situation is not good, my God's not done. Come on now, that is one for me that I am terrible at times. When the water is streaming through my walls in my basement, that's not the words that came to my mouth. Ask Karen. You know, we bought a new house. We bought it up on a hill. You know, we bought it on a hill. Okay, it was like you could see down. Our neighbors were way over there. And there was like, there was a grade. And the guy that, when he told us, he's like, your house is so far up. I don't know. You mean it's all good and everything else. We got there. We moved in on the November of last year on New Year's Eve. We had water in the basement and the floor was floating. And I don't think I said, God's turning this around. I had a moment on the ground, soaked full of water. And then though I did look at Karen and say, this isn't going to kill us. That's all I had at the moment. We were ripping out everything. I said, this is not going to kill us. This is going to pull us closer. Because you know, when stuff like that happens, what does it do to a marriage at times? Beats the living tar out of it. It does when you start going through that kind of stuff. But we're like, no, we're determined to get closer and not to push away. So one of mine that I got to keep reminding myself, if God is turning this around, if the situation is not good, my God is not done. Number four is this: prayer and presence are connected. Prayer is not just about petition, it's about sitting with Him. I tell you, if you're new here, and if you're new here, if you're like, I don't know what in the world this dude's talking about, grab this. Prayer sometimes, there's nothing wrong with petition in prayer. There's nothing wrong with asking in prayer. That's what part of what prayer is. But sometimes Jesus just wants to sit with you. And I tell you, if you're not used to it, it can be awkward and weird because we are so used to having something going on constantly. But He just wants to sit with you. And when the enemy tells you you're not worthy, tells me you're not good enough, just smack him upside the head and just say, I'm going to sit here with Jesus. See, this is a key for me, that prayer and presence go hand in hand. Excuse me, the last one is this. When I speak the powerful words of God, things must change. God's word, when spoken in faith, not fear, will change things. See, that's the thing that I grabbed a hold of with this one is that sometimes you say, well, you know, the word of God can do anything. Yes, it can. But if it's spoken from fear, right? If you're speaking, now sometimes that's all we got. Okay, sometimes that's where we are. And I'm not judging anybody in that moment. But it's when we begin to speak the word of God in faith, and not fear, and in those moments, things must change. God is bringing change. It may not look like it at the moment. It may take a while. When the Lord told me at the beginning of the year, things at the end will look better than they do in the beginning, I had no clue of the depth of what that is. So guess what I'm doing? I'm looking, going, Lord, I'm just going to have to trust you on this, that the end of this journey is going to be powerful. Stand up with me. How many of you want to be people of hope? So here's the idea. Be willing to be trained. Sometimes we're trained by circumstances. Sometimes we're trained by God's word. Sometimes we're trained by hearing sermons. But let me give you this. For me, the most that I get trained by is when I have somebody that keeps me accountable. It doesn't always work if it's your wife or your husband. Come on, now let's just be honest. But somebody else that you go to and say, all those things Pastor Rob was talking about, yeah, I got them all. I'm struggling with this, but I want to become a person of hope. And you say, I want you to keep me accountable to the words that come out of my mouth. Anybody here with me? I'm actually asking you, will you come with me on this journey to find somebody that will keep you accountable for the things that come out of your mouth? And here's the deal. When they say to you, that doesn't sound like God, you're going to not be offended. Right? Come on now, that's the hardest thing because he's like, yeah, you don't know. Oh, yeah. All of these things start to happen. You don't know where I'm going through. You don't know what's going on. You don't know. They don't have to know. All they're doing is trying to help us grow. So you with me? And so let's pray. Father, here we are. And those of us that say, Lord, we want to transform and change, we raise our hand to you, Lord, first of all. And we submit our tongues to you. And we declare that those little pieces of paper that we have will be filled with just one absolute for us. One declaration, one absolute, one thing that we know is true. And we will read and declare that over and over and over again. And Lord, we say that those of us with our hands, that we will connect with somebody that's close to us, and we will say, keep me accountable for what comes out of my mouth. I don't want to burn up the forest that God has for me. because I want to be used by him. Lord, I thank you now for all that you're doing in all of our lives. And God, I humbly stand here as one who's working it out. I wish every day I had it figured out. I wish I was a conqueror completely in this. But I'm so glad that I am not isolated from your table because I don't always get it right. That I am welcome, that we are welcome at your table to spend time and to receive from you that which we need. God, here we are. Lord, transform our church. Transform us to be the beacon, the gleaming beacon of hope in our community. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I bless you as you go today. Please greet one another.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.